The opinions expressed on the Fanalyze podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the sixth and final episode of the season of the Fanalyze podcast. We have a lot to get through today. We want to fill you in on some of our playoff predictions as basketball and hockey are approaching the end of their season, and who doesn't love making a bracket? So we'll start right away with Miguel, who will take us over the NBA.
Thank you, Matthew. So to start off, let's start on the Western Conference. I have the Thunder making the first seed, the Rockets the second, third the Nuggets, fourth the Grizzlies, fifth the Lakers, sixth the Warriors, and then in the play-in tournament, we have the Clippers, Timberwolves, Kings, and Suns. To start off with the Kings and Suns, I would predict that the Suns would win. Next, I have the Clippers against the Timberwolves in the play-in, and I have the Clippers winning. The Timberwolves have just been playing quite poorly, and Ant has said himself that, talking earlier this year, he said that this team needs to be better and that they are too soft. So I have the Clippers moving forward to face the Rockets. In the second round of the play-in tournament for the Western Conference, the Timberwolves against the Suns. I have the Suns beating them unless Ant is able to enter a playoff mode and lead this team in a huge way. I don't see the Timberwolves going very far in this playoffs. But I also have my doubts with the Suns as they seem to be an iso ball kind of team, especially once Bradley Beal gets back to playing. All things considered, I think the Suns heavily outpower the Timberwolves in a one-game matchup. And going off into the East, I have the Cavs making the first seed, Celtics second, third Knicks, Pacers, Bucks, Pistons, seventh seed the Hawks, and then the Magic, Bulls, and Heat. Those four are in the play-in tournament. And to start off with the Bulls and the Heat, I think the Bulls win. They just generally have a deeper bench. The Hawks and Magic, I think that the Magic win, and I don't think the Hawks have any players that can stop Paolo Banchero defensively. So that leads to the Heat being knocked out of the playoffs, and the Bulls moving on to the next stage of the play-in tournament. So it's the Bulls and the Hawks. And the Hawks, I would suspect, win. Trae Young's effectiveness on the court would be unstoppable for the Bulls, I believe, who have a weaker overall team. So that leads to the first round. So starting off in the West, the first place Thunder against the 10th seed Suns. Thunder win the series, I think, quite convincingly, probably four or five games. Shea is putting up MVP numbers, 32.8 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 6.3 assists off of 52.1% shooting, which is extremely high. And I have no doubt that the Thunder make it past the first round against the Suns. Fourth seed Grizzlies against the fifth seed Lakers. I think that the Lakers win. With the addition of Luka, I think that their playoff lineup is quite strong. And the Grizzlies are still a young team that I don't think will be able to outperform the Lakers in the playoffs. And just to move on, I have the Nuggets beating the Warriors and the Rockets beating the Clippers. Then in the East, the Cavs, I believe, sweep the Bulls. Pacers make it past the Bucks, and the Knicks beat the Pistons, along with the Celtics beating the Magic. So the Bucks and Pacers is probably the one matchup that seems quite disputable. Right now, at the time of this recording, Damian Lillard is injured. But we've seen earlier this season that with the addition of Damian Lillard, their team chemistry seems to be quite off. And I think that with the Pacers, they have a very tight-knit team. I think that they can overcome the Bucks and Giannis. So then in the second round, I have the Cavs beating the Pacers and then the Celtics beating the Knicks in five. And in the West, the Thunder beat the Lakers and the Nuggets make it past the Rockets to make the conference final. So this is where it gets interesting, because in the conference final, you have the Thunder and the Nuggets in the West, and the Cavs and the Celtics in the East. The Nuggets have the championship experience, while the Thunder are still young and may not be able to handle the playoff pressure. As we have seen last season, the Thunder's point differential is plus 12.6 points per game, and defensive rating is 106.1 points allowed per 100 possessions, which are both historically elite stats. And I think that the Thunder have a deeper bench, and their second round knockout experience last year will fuel their success this year. So I have the Thunder beating the Nuggets to move on to the finals. Next in the East, the Cavs and the Celtics. I have the Celtics winning here. I think their playoff mode will switch and their level of play will just outclass the Cavs in a 6 or 7 game series. So it would definitely be something to tune in for. I'm not waving off the Cavs as if they're a bad team. But I think that the Celtics have that playoff experience. They have the championship experience coming off their very successful season last year. And in the finals, we have OKC taking on the Boston Celtics. This would be a battle between OKC's youth and the versatility against Boston's experience and two-way dominance both offense and defense. The Thunder, led by Canadian Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he thrives on pace, length, and defensive flexibility, while the Celtics have a proven core with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, elite defenders like Jrue Holiday, plus a sharpshooter in Peyton Pritchard, who's been a real threat from beyond the arc this season. OKC's biggest challenge would be matching Boston's playoff experience. The Celtics have been to the finals before and know how to handle high-pressure moments, but if OKC's young big Chet Holmgren can hold his own against Porzingis, I think OKC has a shot, but Boston's depth and defensive toughness give them the edge in this one, I think. It's a close series, but with their experience and shot-making, the Celtics likely take it in 7. That said, winning back-to-back titles is never easy, and OKC is talented enough to make this a real fight. All in all, one thing's for sure, this matchup would be a must-watch basketball series. The stakes are high, there are many stars, and the storyline is there. However it plays out, I definitely would not want to miss that.
And with that being said, we'll now transition over to our NHL playoff predictions, where Josh, Christina, and I have built and fleshed out brackets. Before we get into our actual brackets, just name the 2 wild card teams from each conference who you chose.
All right, so for me, in the Eastern Conference, your first wild card team is going to be the Ottawa Senators, and taking the number 2 wild card spot is the Montreal Canadiens.
I agree with Josh. I think it will be good to see the Senators and the Canadiens clench these wild card spots, and it'll be a tough battle, but I think they can both push through.
For the Western Conference, in the number 1 spot, I have the Minnesota Wild, and the number 2 spot, the red hot St. Louis Blues. What a run they've been on. Kind of similar to the run we saw them go on in 2019. So we'll see what it comes to in the playoffs. But yeah, those are my 2 wild card spots in the Western Conference.
I also went the Wild as the number 1 wild card. They do have such a large points gap between them and the second wild card. So the Minnesota Wild are locked in there, I believe. And then I went with the Blues as well because they're on such a hot streak right now. I just watched them dismantle my Canadiens 6-1 the other night. And I think really their only competition there are Calgary and Vancouver. And as much as I'd love to see another Canadian team make it in there, they're just not consistent. So the number 1 seeded Winnipeg Jets, I have beating the St. Louis Blues in 6 games. I see it going 6 again because the Blues are just so hot right now. I think some of that momentum carries into the playoffs. And I think obviously at the start of the playoffs, usually Hellebuck has a couple of jittery games in there. But I think the Winnipeg Jets are a very, very strong team. They have a lot of depth this year. So I will say that they will win in 6 games there. Then the first round matchup everyone's been talking about since the trade deadline, the second seed in the Central, Dallas Stars, taking on the 3rd seed, Colorado Avalanche. I have to see this one going the distance, and I'm going to go Colorado there. I just think, again, they're potentially a slightly hotter team than Dallas are right now, but there's something about this Colorado team. Will the Stars be a pushover? Absolutely not. If they beat Colorado in the first round, could they win the Cup? Of course they could. But I just think this is one of those series where it's 2 elite teams going head-to-head. Give me the Avs in 7. Vegas, number 1 in the Pacific, versus the wild card 1, Minnesota Wild. I got Vegas in 5. That's nothing against the Wild. I think they are a greatly improved team this year. But Marc-Andre Fleury is obviously not a long-term answer in net. Obviously, we know he's retiring, and he's not even playing that many games anymore. So I think despite the improvements and good young pieces that the Wild have, the Golden Knights are just a wagon this year. So I'll take the Knights in 5. And then the second Pacific, LA Kings, and third Pacific, reigning Stanley Cup runner-up, Edmonton Oilers. Give me the Kings in 7.
Wow.
4 years in a row, it's not going to happen. Surely it's not going to happen. The Oilers have a lot of injuries. Whether those players will be back in time is yet to be seen. And while they are expected to be, they need to get right into the groove. And to go from lower body injuries and weeks at a time being out, thrown right into playoff hockey against a division rival who you've kicked out of the playoffs the last 3 years in a row, it's not going to be easy.
Here we have our first disagreement. I have Edmonton over LA in seven. LA just can't seem to beat Edmonton. And similarly to not betting against Nathan MacKinnon, it's really tough to bet against guys like McDavid and Draisaitl, especially as they've proven to be two of the greatest playoff performers of all time. LA is a good team, just, you know, can't beat these demons that are the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, starting off with the Capitals and the Canadiens, I have Capitals winning in six. I mean, the Capitals already claimed their spot in the playoffs with Montreal looking to get the wild card spot. The Capitals are just a much stronger team this season. And then going on to the Carolina and the Devils, I have Carolina. As a Devils fan, this is sad to say, but this has just not been our season with too many injuries. Moving on to Ottawa and Florida. Obviously, I think Florida is going to take that one in six as well. Last year's Stanley Cup championship, Florida is just a really strong team. And again, Ottawa is also just trying to claim their wild card spot. And then last, the Lightning and the Leafs. I think the Lightning will take the Leafs in seven. I feel like the Lightning is just a stronger team. They play a better game than the Leafs.
And then for the rest of the bracket, going back to the West, give me the Avs over the Jets in six. I just think, as convincing as Winnipeg's goaltending is compared to Colorado's, I think the firepower of Colorado will exceed Winnipeg, particularly seeing how Winnipeg seems to perform in the playoffs, where their offense sometimes seems to die down. Then I got the Knights over the Kings in five. Again, the Knights are just such a strong team. Give me the Hurricanes over the Capitals. I think the Hurricanes are better suited for the playoffs this year than the Washington Capitals are. Give me that in six. And then give me the Panthers over the Lightning in seven in a battle of Florida, which usually are very lopsided in the playoffs, but I'll take Florida this time. Then moving on to the conference finals, the Avs over the Knights in six. Again, I just have such a good feeling about this Avs team, despite how strong the Vegas Golden Knights are. The Florida Panthers, who I think will beat the Carolina Hurricanes in six. Again, that Panthers team is just unreal. And potentially, by the time we reach the Stanley Cup final, we could be seeing Landeskog back in that Avalanche lineup, but I don't think it will be enough. I'll take the Florida Panthers to win back-to-back in a seven-game series against the Colorado Avalanche. And this trend of winning one or two cups in a row or 2 in 3 years will continue with the Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup. The Blue Jays season preview. So the way we're going to go about this is I have some more stats on the entire AL East, so I'll just start off. I think the Blue Jays are in for a tough year here. Sub .500. I think the record I have them at is 79-83. That would put them fourth in the AL East. I do have the Tampa Bay Rays 2 games behind that. And then I have the Yankees in third, the Red Sox in second, and the Orioles in first. I'll give you my reasoning. The Orioles, Jackson Holliday has to have a better year this year. And he had a great OPS. He also had a .333 batting average in spring training. It's a sample size, but it was pretty convincing. Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson are just going to continue to get better. I think the Orioles are in a great position. I have them 90-72 winning the AL East. For the Red Sox, Giolito and Crochet, he could potentially win a Cy Young this year. Walker Buehler, Brian Bello, their rotation is very well-rounded. They brought in Bregman, which was a guy that the Jays were looking at, but the Red Sox got him. They still have Rafael Devers, Trevor Story, Masataka Yoshida. They have a really well-put-together roster, and Christian Campbell could be a Rookie of the Year candidate at second base for the Red Sox, so that's to be seen, but the Red Sox are definitely much improved from last season. The Yankees have injuries. Stanton with his double tennis elbow, Cole with his surgery. They haven't had a losing season since 1992 and never missed the playoffs under Boone, but, and I don't think that will change either. I still have them making the playoffs, but I don't think they will be able to top this division this year. I have them with an 85-77, whereas the Red Sox will be 88-74. Jason Dominguez will have a good season this year. I think he'll finally get a lot of playing time, and I think we'll see his come up in the big leagues. The Rays, they have great pitching. Shane McClanahan, Shane Baz, Drew Rasmussen, Zach Little. Aside from probably the Mariners and the Red Sox, and you could argue that the Rays have a better rotation than the Red Sox, it's probably a top rotation in the league, at least in the American League, that is. as for the Jays, I got to be more pessimistic. While I think they will finish above the Tampa Bay Rays, who just don't have the hitting, I think by July we could see them starting to blow things up. I don't think Bichette finishes the season in Toronto. I don't think Max Scherzer finishes the season in Toronto. We could be approaching a real dumpster fire here. I don't think the Jays have built for success to this point. Their window has passed, and they're trying the same thing. I don't think they'll have a horrific record. They will just be, as I said, 79 and 83, so not that far below 500. But I just don't see it working out for the Jays this year. The Vladdy contract is going to be lingering over the team's heads. One day you'll hear, oh, they're getting close. Not like half an hour ago, I got a notification that they're really far apart now. So that's just going to be hanging over them. And when you look at the rest of the division and the league, the AL East is just so stacked that even if the Jays do tend to overperform this year, they can't be better than the Yankees, Red Sox, or Orioles. I just can't see that happening. And when you look within the American League, the Central is stacked. That's another division with three or maybe even four possible division winners. So it's going to be very tough for the Jays. I think the Jays probably have the third best bullpen in the division. They probably have the third best starting rotation as well. But in terms of their lineup, I probably put them down there at fourth. So that there are a lot of teams, especially within their division, that just beat out the Jays when you compare rosters and rotations. I don't think it's going to be a great season.
So I have the Jays also slotting in at fourth in the division, but I'm not as negative on them. I think they could have a big improvement on last season, maybe even potentially eclipsing 500. It's just that, you know, I think their division is probably the toughest division to get out of this year. And it's hard to picture, the Yankees not being good when they have a guy like Aaron Judge playing at an elite level. The Red Sox, they look like, a super deep team all around. Yeah, so I don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, to talk about some of their strengths, I think that they have some strong rotations with Gosman, Barrios, and Bassett. And a certainly improved bullpen, especially comparing to last season. But some weaknesses, obviously some inconsistent offense, as you both have mentioned. They're just struggling to put runners in scoring positions. They're one X factor, but also probably the thing that's lingering over their heads the most, Guerrero Jr.'s performance. If he's elite, they're contenders. If not, the offense could sputter. And obviously, the AL East is tough. Wild card probably seems the best bet if they even have a chance of making the playoffs.
I'm going to predict the Blue Jays will finish somewhere between 78 and 85 wins this season. Their offseason has been pretty strong. I'll be positive about that. I definitely think they can improve this season if they don't get as many injuries as they did last season.
All right, and now we'll move on to our final segment of our final episode. Of course, it's Bleeder Bandwagon this week. I'm on the hot seat. I'm claiming to be a diehard fan of the Montreal Canadiens. Of course I am. They were my first true love since I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. I've been bleeding Bleu, Blanc, et Rouge, so we'll see how this goes. Obviously, Miguel is at 200 points, Josh is at 800 points, and Christina still leads us all with 1,200. That's going to be a hard total to top here. But I will give it my best. I'm definitely nervous. You know the rules, Josh. You can take it away.
So let's just hop right in with our 100-point question. So what season did Carey Price win the Vezina?
Pretty sure he won it in 2015.
That is correct. So then we move on to our 200-point question. So obviously, every goalie in the NHL wears a mask now. But it wasn't always like this. So who was the first goalie for the Canadiens to wear a mask? And, he sort of revolutionized the idea.
I believe that would be Jacques Plante.
That is correct. 2 for 2 here. The answer was Jacques Plante. Yeah, got injured during a game and was forced to wear the mask. But now, it's a normal thing you see every day. So now moving on to our 300-point question. What is the true meaning behind the H within the Montreal Canadiens logo?
Yeah, so this is a common misconception. A lot of people think that the H does actually stand for Les Habitants, but it actually just stands for hockey.
That is correct. Yep, as simple as hockey. Perfect 3 for 3 so far. Moving on to the 400-point question. You're doing great. So which Montreal Canadiens goalie has had the lowest goals against average in a Stanley Cup final series?
Man, a lot of goalie questions.
I like my goalies. I used to be one myself.
I know it's not Carey Price. I'm going to say it's – I'm also not going to say it's Patrick Waugh. I think it's going to be one of the older ones. Haynesworth, if we're going really old. Ken Dryden or Jacques Plante. But I know there's obviously some others that it could be because they had so many goalies that had a lot of Stanley Cup Finals appearances. And I know also the more – are we talking in terms of all of their Stanley Cup Finals appearances or just in one season?
In one series, you know, their goals against average just in that one series.
I'm between Haynesworth and Dryden. My gut's telling me it's Haynesworth. My head's telling me it's Dryden. I'm going to go Dryden.
So the correct answer was Roger Vachon.
What year was that?
I believe, I don't have it written down here, but I believe it was 1969, somewhere in the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a tough question because, you know, the Canadiens have such a rich history, have so many good players, and they've obviously been to the finals so many times.
Yeah.
Moving on to the 500-point question, obviously the toughest one. Who did the Canadiens select with their first draft pick of the 21st century?
I have 600 points, right?
You do. So
if I wager it all, I could tie.
You could still tie.
And then we have to figure out what to do.
A game of rock, paper, scissors, maybe?
Is it a player I should know?
I will say they did not play very long with the Montreal Canadiens. Probably, in fact, they will not go down being known for playing with the Canadiens, probably with some other teams.
Sergachev was obviously way after that.
Are we sure? Sure.
Are we sure? Yeah, I'm sure. McDonough was after that. And when I think, like, great Canadiens defensemen, I have to go back to, like, Chelios and Robinson. Can you tell me what team he played for most of his career?
All right, let's see.
I'll take the loss on the question, but I just want to...
Yeah, okay. The correct answer is Ron Hainsey. Leafs legend Ron Hainsey.
I should have had that too. Dang it. All right, go big or go home. Putting all 600 points
all
in.
All 600. So if you get
if
this
I
wrong.
Get it, I tie with Christina, and then we have to figure out how to do some kind of tiebreaker.
So Howie Morenz is often regarded as the first superstar in the NHL, mm-hmm. known for his graceful skating and blistering speed, as well as a great shot. How many times did he win the Hart Trophy? Which seasons were they?
I have a feeling so the team was founded in 1909. Morenz obviously wasn't there right from the start, although he was there early. I'm going to say he won four Hart Trophies, 1928, 1929, 31, and 33.
As a two-part question, the amount of times that he won it was three, but you got some of the seasons correct, 1927-28, 1930-31, and then 1931-32. So you got some parts of the question right, some parts of the question wrong.
I can't believe I got the years right, but the number
I,
wrong.
I know. That
was like almost a total shot
impressive.
In the dark.
Yeah, it's tough not to include the historical parts of Montreal since there's such a historic franchise. Unfortunately, you end up going home with zero points here, but you know, you had to lay it all on the line here. Valiant effort for our last quiz of the podcast. So thank you. Thank you for playing.
All right. And with that being said, we now have to wind down. The Fanalyze podcast is over for the season. What the future holds, we're not sure yet, whether we'll be back as a podcast or a live show on Spirit Live or what the future holds. Yeah, we're not sure yet. But what we can tell you is Fanalyze is probably not over in its entirety. Come the fall when football's back on, we'll probably have a lot more commentary to offer. But we thank you for listening, especially if you've listened to all six of our episodes this season. This has been the Fanalyze podcast. Again, we hope to see you soon. Thanks.